All right, welcome. Wow, audio's great in this building. Welcome to the September 2nd, 2015 Tacoma Planning Commission meeting. Tonight we are at the South Tacoma Asia Pacific Center here at South Park. Thanks everybody for coming. I'm going to call the meeting to order and ask Mr. Wong, do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do. Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Wambach and Commissioner Neal had scheduling conflicts and asked to be recused.
Excused. Great. Thanks. Appreciate that. Next on our agenda, approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Okay, the agenda is approved. Next up, approval of minutes. This is from our public hearing. Clearly, this is minutes from the hearing. We'll be reviewing these in more in depth, but has everybody had a chance to take a look at these? Any initial comments, or do I have a motion?
Yes, just for one quick comment, just for humor's sake. How many citizens did we actually have leave a comment during our last meeting? Because I counted 80, and this is 53.
I think we had 75 signed up, but there was a lot of people that ended up bailing out of the meeting towards the end. Staff feels like this is pretty accurate representation. I mean, clearly you guys went through the audio.
53 yeah. Testified. This is accurate.
Okay.
We got a lot of written comments, too.
Yeah.
I would move approval as presented.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. And any discussion on the motion? All right. All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Minutes are adopted. Great. So first up on our discussion item agenda for this evening is the What Have We Heard? The Annual Amendment Comp Plan and Land Use Regulatory Code. This is an agenda item, a short agenda item before our walking and driving tour of the Tacoma Mall area. So this is kind of a high-level review, as I understand it, of the comments that we received at the public hearing and some of the written comments to date, although just to note for the audience, the Planning Commission has not seen the full package of written comments, but clearly we've had plenty of verbal comments at our hearing and just accepted the minutes reflecting that. So I'll turn this over to Mr. Wong and Mr. Boudet. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. You conducted a public hearing at the last meeting on October 19th. For the 2015 Annual Amendment to the Comprehensive Plan and Land Use Regulatory Code. 53 people testified at the public hearing, and you have the public hearing record open through September 11th, 2015 to accept written comments. The record was opened around the beginning of August. So over the past month, we have received approximately 170 pieces of written comments and still coming in. As of Monday, we compiled a list of comments that we received and the major issues and concerns reflected in those comments. And that four-page document was sent to you just this morning and was available on the side tables here in this room. So what Brian and I will be doing in the next maybe 10, 15 minutes is to go over these comments that we have received. And Mr. Chair, you were correct that we have all the emails and written comments in our office. You have not seen them. We are trying very hard to catch up, try to compile them into a document. Hopefully by next meeting, you will have the document before you. And today we're gonna check in with each other, staff with commissioners, what we think we have heard at the public hearing last meeting and what we know we have seen from written comments over the past few weeks. And Brian and I were going to go over these bullet points as provided here. So just before I turn over to Brian, just very quickly about the schedule. So tonight you are having the first meeting after the public hearing to review, and I should say debrief, of the public hearing. And starting next meeting on September 16th, we plan to bring you staff responses to comments for your review and consideration and for your direction to see if the way staff responds is appropriate and what kind of a potential modifications to the proposal package you may have to suggest for staff to conduct. And the following meeting, October 7th, we will continue doing that exercise. If all goes well, you would probably make a recommendation to the City Council at that meeting, October 7th. From that point on, the City Council will conduct its review, including conducting a public hearing sometime later October or early November, and then consider ordinances for adoption, two readings in sometime in November. We'll have to see how it goes with the meeting today, next meeting, and October 7th to have that schedule finalized. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brian to start talking about public comments we have received for those four categories of subjects as I listed on the first page of your handout. So with that, Brian.
Thanks, Mr. Wong, and I appreciate it. And I just as a clarification, didn't want to interpret it as a slight that staff hasn't provided us the comments. I know there are volumes and reams of comments, and I know you guys are working really hard on it. I just wanted the audience and anybody who listens to the audio know that we're not reviewing every single comment received yet because the comment period is still open. So that's normal practice, just FYI for the audience and anybody listening at home.
Thank you for that additional note, Chair. And I guess I'll just say this is a little bit unusual in that we're starting to have this conversation prior to the comment period coming to close, at some level in recognition of how much comment and testimony there has been so far, as well as just the understanding I think that the commission took in extending that time period, that comment period, to make sure that folks had enough time to look at all of the materials there. So it's really, I think as Wong mentioned, this is sort of intended to be more of a debrief. No thoughts or indications that this is intended to be decisions or specific direction or anything like that. I mean, the comment period is still open. So this is very much just a snapshot so far of the kinds of things that we have heard. Obviously, we expect that the majority of comments continuing to come in will probably be along these same lines, but we simply don't know one way or the other. So from staff's perspective, I think some of the big questions, I guess, that we have in general is, as we go through these, if there's other issues that you heard or are aware of that you want to make sure get incorporated or that you're not seeing on here, that's certainly something that we want to know about as we continue to work through all of the public input and come back, like Wong said, with more staff responses directly at the next meeting, as well as, I guess, just in order to facilitate that discussion over the next month or so, if there are specific things, requests that you have of staff that would really help your consideration moving forward that we can bring back either at the next meeting or on October 7th, whether that's information from our consultants or benchmarking or whatever all that might be that could really help you work through all of these comments and issues. So with that, I will just go through, and I don't want to read through all the bullet points by any means. I'm just going to want to highlight some of the things. You were obviously at the hearing. You heard all of that testimony, so we don't need to rehash every single component of it, and we will be continuing to have these discussions, like I said, over the next month. But then you'll see on here that it's listed in four items. We essentially combined the mixed-use centers and comprehensive plan item under Section A here. So it's still the five items, obviously, that are in the annual amendment package. But we structured it that way just because a lot of the testimony that was ultimately about mixed-use centers and the mixed-use center study itself was really intended to facilitate the comprehensive plan update and some of the policy choices that were being made there.
Just as a kind of a framework for the commission, I think because we still have the comment period open till the 11th, it probably would behoove us to probably limit most of our discussion here to potential questions for Brian, maybe just as a debrief. But I mean, I definitely don't want us to make conclusions just based on the verbal that we've received, mostly because we still have the comment period open. We haven't read through all of the comment letters, and I want us to definitely be thoughtful as to the people that have taken the time to write in that didn't happen to be at the hearing. So maybe just as a guidepost for us, if we could kind of limit our discussion here to maybe clarifying questions or just, you know, however Brian wants to kind of guide us through this. But I definitely don't want to represent this as we're drawing conclusions at this meeting, because we've still got 9 days worth of comment period open. And typical, as Brian and Wong will probably tell you, that we receive comments till the very last minute. So we definitely want to be thoughtful as to how those comments come in and how we consider them. So that's at least my thoughts.
Yeah. And I guess in the same vein, I'll sort of recognize that the 16th is not very far past the 11th. So well, there probably will be some realistic limitations on how much written material ends up being provided for this. I think there's an opportunity to have a really great discussion and go through all of the issues and bring some folks in to talk about options and responses to a lot of the comments. But as Wong said, we're working as best as we can to get through all of that and organize it for your review. But with that, and I'll start, and really the first three on there, and I think this is one of the unique things about that public hearing and some of the input that we have heard, the first three all relate to the sort of requests that came in as part of the hearing for a moratorium in the Proctor Mixed Use Center and potentially a reduction in the height limit from 65 feet down to 45 feet. I think, as the Commission's certainly aware, the public hearing wasn't necessarily set up to discuss directly whether a moratorium was a good idea or not. That wasn't really part of the public notice. And certainly the idea of the height limits hadn't been a significant focus of the Mixed Use Center's review itself. It was at really a little bit of a higher level about whether the strategy made sense and what kinds of things that the city should consider if we stick to the basic strategy of mixed-use centers of continuing to move the ball forward. And that's certainly more what was in the package. But nonetheless, you know, probably at least half the testimony at the public hearing was really about a moratorium in the Proctor area. So I guess it's an interesting question for the commission itself. We have all this information that came in. We've got, you know, a petition with 1,500 plus signatures. We've got some analysis that was provided by the Four Proctor group as part of that petition. We certainly can move forward, and it will always be a part of that public record and moving forward as part of the Planning Commission's recommendation. But recognizing that that was a pretty dramatic and significant testimony that came in, and ultimately the City Council is the one who has the authority to adopt a moratorium anyways, and it was a fairly specific request to do a moratorium. I guess the question is whether or not that item, even as it sort of is recognized and continues through the process as part of the hearing and the annual amendment, whether or not the Commission is in any way interested in communicating this on at an earlier time to the City Council to say, I mean, not to say they don't know that happened, but like I say, they have the authority. The Commission really doesn't have the authority to put in place a moratorium, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, ultimately, and the City Council probably is certainly warranted to weigh in on that sort of a question. So, like I say, before we go into some of the more detailed comments that relate pretty directly to the components that were in the draft amendments, I guess I sort of pose the question to the Commission specifically about that really, you know, that sort of overwhelming testimony about a moratorium and that request and the petition and all that kind of information, if there's any interest in doing something a little different. So.
I guess recognizing the fact that it wasn't the subject of our public hearing, I think that we got a very biased and lopsided testimony. You got a group who got all their group members to testify. So I think if we were to decide we wanted to take any action or make any recommendation, we would really need to have a more even-keeled group come and give their opinion, because as a person who lives in that general area, I have heard the other side quite a bit.
I just asked staff, there was a lot of reference to a study of 8 or 9 years ago that indicated the economics of, I believe, 45 feet indicated viability for development. Is it possible for that information to be made available to the Planning Commission members before we continue on this? Because I think that was relevant.
certainly provide that. Yeah, and our intent is, honestly, to come back probably on the 16th, and it might be the 16th and October 7th, with the consultants from our Mixed Use Centers project to talk about some of those issues, because the feasibility discussion in the petition request obviously gets directly to the exact same consultant's report from many years ago. So they're certainly going to be part of that, and I guess part of, you know, what I ask is, we are going to continue to discuss that and continue to review, and I have no reason to think that the Planning Commission's recommendation certainly won't include some understanding, recognition, or otherwise of this request that came in. But the truth is, the Planning Commission's recommendation is not going to happen for a month or a month and a half or something like that. And the question is whether or not, with considering the amount of testimony, and not, you know, I think not a question of whether or not the commission necessarily wants to say yes, a moratorium is a great idea or not. Is it reasonable to forward on something that indicates, hey, we got all this testimony. This is ultimately something that the city council has the direct power and authority over. To institute a moratorium requires a public hearing by the city council anyways. It doesn't necessarily require a public hearing by the planning commission. So obviously, if the city council wanted to take up an issue like that, they could hold a public hearing if they wanted to try to get both sides of the story too. So,
Related to that, I would ask about, we did moratoria before for the medical cannabis, things like that, and it was when there was a pressing need, there was something coming down the pike. In this case, there was reference to a second project. I assume that project may have already been permitted. And do we see anything after that project that a moratorium might have some bearing on?
So the second project referred to is not yet permitted. There has been some pre-application discussions about that project, so there is certainly something out there in the works. Whether or not that moves forward or not is obviously not for the city or staff to decide, but and there are rumors out there about other projects. I certainly can't comment on how real or not they are. Honestly, I don't know. And a lot of that is probably hinging on the success of the first project that has not yet come to completion. So,
I do think, as a commission knows, I mean, I do think Brian's suggestion is one for us to definitely think about, because there was so much anger or sort of outrage about the building height at Proctor Station, considering that the charge from the city council was, we have, 18 MUCs, are all of them working? We're not seeing the development in all of them that we envisioned 22 years ago. Planning Commission, do a study, determine whether we need to narrow those down, whether we need to recategorize them, what do we need to do to make them successful? And I think from a high level standpoint, that was kind of the charge from the city council. And clearly what we heard from the hearing was something completely different, something very specific related to one MUC. If you look at the report, there is actually a suggestion towards the end of the report to look at building heights for each MUC. I think that was more tailored towards the categorization and the typologies that the consultant came up with, and less about Proctor, because we didn't even discuss that during the deliberation over the last year when we developed the mixed-use study. So it is a good point for us to probably consider as to, jumping to the conclusion that we're going to lower the building height in Proctor is not what the city council asked us to do. We're sort of limited by what the city council asked us to do. And should we, based on the volume of comments that we received, flag this as an early issue and ask the city council if this is something they want to undertake and send back to us for consideration? Mostly because it just wasn't part of our, at least substantively, part of our discussion about mixed-use centers.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about, if that were to happen, what the timing would be, and whether that could be incorporated into the annual amendments or would be outside of that, or
I would assume probably outside of it, assuming the council adopted a moratorium.
The commission is part of its recommendation that is a month out or so, or a little more than a month out. You certainly could recommend a moratorium, make findings that you feel like support that. You could forward along the information that you got, and sort of as a hey, we got all this testimony. It wasn't necessarily directly associated with our charge or our project this year, but we do think there is some discussion, and the report, in fact, certainly validates the idea of some level of master planning and individual study, and the Planning Commission has advocated for that for many years, and there has been some of that going on. The tour we're going to go on later is at some level a representation of those sorts of discussions. So there's certainly that opportunity as part of the Planning Commission's recommendation. I guess part of what I'm bringing up is the question of all of these people come and testify. Does it feel awkward to wait a month or a month and a half before at least providing some sort of a heads up, a recognition? Like I say, when ultimately, I mean, the height limit is one thing and hasn't really been on the docket, so it would be pretty tricky to try to actually reduce the height limit as part of this year's annual amendments without going back and doing a certain amount of public process. The idea of a moratorium is such a very specific request, and at some level the whole purpose of a moratorium is to put a timeout on things, right? I mean, if there's a concern that buildings can be too tall in Proctor or other mixed-use centers, and we're seeing buildings come in too tall, and we better study that before we allow any more, that's the kind of reason why you put a moratorium in place. The moratorium provides you the time to do the study, essentially. So that's what I said. I mean, I think in many ways the request was specific one was to do a moratorium and put a timeout so that we can do a study and have those discussions. It's hard to say exactly what the council's perspective on that question is right now, since that same kind of testimony that happened before the Planning Commission has not happened at the City Council at all. So certainly the group felt like this was an opportunity to come and provide this information that they have been gathering for quite some time. So. It's sort of a question of, does waiting a month or a month and a half feel awkward, you know, or is it worth saying something right now that, hey, we had a petition with 1,500 plus people, and, you know, half of our hearing was on this Proctor moratorium question. You need to be aware of this and at least think about whether or not council wants to take it up. So.
My recommendation is that we not wait. I don't think we're in a position to recommend a moratorium at this point. I'm certainly not. But I think it's information that should be passed on fairly quickly to the council, and basically with a cover letter or something that explains that this was not a part of what we were holding the public hearing on. I mean, it's a real stretch to try to bring it in, actually. But suggest, because of the import of this, the number of people involved, that they need to be made aware of it, and then they can come back and indicate what they want the Planning Commission to do. While we're processing the comments we've already received and will receive in the next week or so.
Well, and I would agree with that approach. Other commission thoughts on that? I see a lot of head nodding.
I agree with that approach. I don't think we should take an action, but I think a letter is perfectly adequate.
Yeah. So I don't know if we necessarily, Brian, if we need a motion. I think we've definitely got a consensus here that we'd like you to draft something for our consideration. Okay. So we can get this to them probably before our next meeting, maybe circulate it by email to the commission, and just let everybody know what the content of the letter is going to say. I can sign it, certainly, if you'd like me to. But I think in general we should probably try and get out in front of this and get this in front of the council, because this is a much bigger discussion than this commission is charged with doing. This clearly is a huge community concern for that area, and this commission as a volunteer group is not equipped to initiate things that we're not asked to work on or we didn't accept as part of our annual amendment package. And so I think that that's sort of the disappointing part, is that there was a lot of emotion, there was a lot of energy behind a lot of this, and those folks need to talk to their council members and their elected representatives, and I think we definitely need to convey that to the council and ask them to give us some direction on what we should do or what we shouldn't do before we move forward, because clearly we're not the elected body that should make those bigger decisions. We should be working on things that council directs us to work on. So I appreciate staff bringing this to us, because I think that's a good approach, and not waiting a month and a half for something that inevitably is going to say the same thing. And let's get this thing to them as soon as we can.
Okay. So we'll work on putting a letter together for the chair's signature and try to get that here within the next week or so. I mean, I get a pretty strong sense. It's kind of here's what we heard. you know, council needs to think about this, provide direction if you want, without any specific recommendations one way or the other. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. So beyond that, in the comprehensive plan and mixed-use centers item, the other, what, five bullets or so that are on here, there was some general support for the mixed-use centers concept as a tool. There was some discussion about design review, and I think there's no doubt as we get into some of the future ones, design was obviously a big focus and discussion of many parts of the public hearing. Continuing focus on downtown and neighborhoods around that, sort of the idea of focusing in and around centers, that is still the primary desire of the community to focus the majority of growth as we move forward. So really along the same lines of the growth strategy and how that has been laid out for the last 20 years or so. In addition to that, just a couple of notes. I know the Planning Commission had made a couple of requests, and these are the kinds of things certainly that will be coming back over the next couple of meetings. One of those was about impact fees and the additional information being put together as part of an appendix for the Transportation Master Plan regarding impact fees. And I know there was a question mostly from Commissioner Wambach about the Transportation Master Plan and the system completeness concept, and how that translates into level of service and project review, and how we ensure that projects, when they come in, do the kinds of improvements that are needed to address their impacts. In addition to that, staff, as always, staff is continuing to review as the document is out, talking to other departments and other agencies, and there are some things that we are likely to be coming back with as suggestions as well. One of those is called Centers of Local Importance. So this is a county-level center designation, essentially, that came through the countywide planning policies process, and the thought is probably to incorporate something about that directly into the plan, and it's likely tied to the 20-minute neighborhoods concept that is really strongly put forward in the Transportation Master Plan. In addition, there's been all this discussion about mixed-use centers and the mixed-use centers report. One of the thoughts is that the mixed-use centers report provides a lot of individual characterization of the centers. So we have broad policies by type of center, but then the report itself talks individually about the centers and opportunities and characteristics, and that there may be some sense in incorporating some of that information back into the plan, because we always hear the sort of one size doesn't fit all concept, and that was certainly a big discussion as part of that mixed-use centers report, was to look beyond just the typologies and talk a little bit more individually about the centers themselves. And then the last one here is the land use designations. As you know, it's sort of a citywide effort to look at those land use designations. As staff is continuing to comb through that, there are no doubt issues still coming up, you know, split parcels and things like that. Some unique circumstances out there. I know, like Portland Avenue Nursery and other sort of random items that sit around in the community that don't get captured really well sometimes. And so there'll be some question back, I think, to the commission about how to address some of those unique items. The next one, item B, certainly was the next most significant testimony we received so far, and that is regarding the infill and housing affordability proposals. There has certainly been some mixed support and concern, although certainly at the hearing the majority was of concern, and I think that probably still holds true in most of the written testimony that we have seen so far, but there is some support, and certainly for certain items. Again, one of the tricky things about this specific proposal is that in the one item, it actually has about 15 different items, and certainly the majority of the concern, as you heard, was about multifamily development, or I'll sort of generally say multifamily, primarily duplexes and duplexes or triplexes, in single-family zoning, in special review districts, and certainly particularly within the historic districts and the North Slopes HMR SRD zoning district. So lots of concern about density, parking, traffic, character, lots of discussion about that. I think a really interesting conversation still going on about what does character mean and what does single family character mean. Lots of different opinions on that, but lots of concern about how well some of these infill concepts fit into how people translate that character. detached accessory dwelling units. Has been some mixed, certainly on that one, some support and concern. Probably not as dramatic a concern on that one as we hear for some of the multifamily stuff. Design standards, some support for smaller lots, certainly lots of support and questions about design and better ensuring design for new construction. And I will say, I guess one of the things I personally took away from a lot of the conversation that's been going on is this sort of lack of trust or distrust in the community about whether or not when we talk about flexibility and new approaches and change and things like that, whether the city can get it right, whether the city will ensure that things are done well to a reasonable quality standard, that they will actually fit. And I know the commission has talked a lot about design. The comprehensive plan this time around has an enhanced discussion about design. The pilot program that's been put forward as part of the infill proposal talks about design. And so lots of stuff in there that we will continue to discuss over the next few weeks and months. Again, as you see on here, there's a lot of sort of mixed opposition and support, certainly as we get past, I mean, the majority of the opposition was about the multifamily stuff. Lots of concern about historic districts that you see on here. It's actually a sort of its own, we put it in its own category because that was such an overwhelming piece of the testimony that within the infill proposals, particular concern about what impact that could have on character. Lots of questions about conversion of existing homes and how that might impact both external and internal components of the existing buildings. Concern about lot sizes and yards. Concern about accessory dwelling units in the sense of shading and privacy and issues like that. And some concerns and, I guess, characterization of the proposals walking back on successes in the past of historic preservation, particularly in the North Slope Historic District and or the characterizations of what that zoning is and should be moving into the future. And the second half of this one, and you'll see from a bullet point list, it's dramatically shorter than the first half. Under the affordable housing incentives and upzone standards, not a lot of comments so far on that one. It's mostly been on the infill parts of that proposal. We are still expecting comments from the Affordable Housing Policy Advisor Group, I guess I'll say, obviously, which a big chunk of what this package actually is comes through from all of their reports and recommendations over the last few years. So they're actually meeting tomorrow, I believe, to finalize that. So we should have their written comments pretty soon. And then lastly, I'll just, again, make a note about some of the things that we recognize the commission had asked about. So one of those is the fee in lieu program for the affordable housing components and sort of the why the $10,000, what's the thinking behind the $10,000. So we're actually have a consultant on board looking at some market data and market analysis to provide some information back to the commission about how those numbers relate to the equivalency standard that's in the state law. And then the other one was about design guidelines. Again, lots of discussion about design. And as this filters out through the continued discussions with the commission, obviously the ultimate design guidelines that end up in place as part of any pilot program will at some level relate to what is actually in the pilot program. And that still remains to be seen. So.
So I'll cover the... another significant piece in the annual amendment package is the proposed Narramore Addition Conservation District. We have heard quite a number of comments, both oral testimony and written comments. The majority of comments are in support of the proposal. People cite reasons that they support proposals, such as the conservation district would preserve the neighborhood characters, by characters that include topography, low density, and development, open space, streetscape, and view and historic significance. Conservation district would is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the pertinent elements of the comprehensive plan. The district would reinforce the existing covenants. the district would help protect the neighborhood against inappropriate development or remodeling. And there was a comment about historic and conservation district design guidelines should be properly incorporated in the regulations concerning variance and concerning other discretionary actions such as approval of shore plats. There are some comments that are concerned or against actually the proposal, citing reasons such as this would create excessive requirements and undue burdens and costs for property owners, that the covenants are already adequate, and the cost of creating such a district is not justified by public benefit. There was an interesting comment that is against the proposal, saying that it should not be called a conservation district, it should be called historic preservation district. And lastly, concerning the cleanup of the land use regulatory code, again, the proposal package included in these cleanup are editorial, minor, and house cleaning in nature. We got just a couple of comments and suggestions suggesting that concerning the dead end and cul-de-sac regulations, make sure that we consider tying the code provisions into the six-year transportation improvement plan, such that we can ensure whatever included in the six-year transportation improvement plan gets implemented where appropriate. Also, there was a suggestion to create a fee-in-lieu program to that effect. There was also a comment about while we try to remove barriers to the low-impact development, we should also incorporate or create financial incentives. And also, the sunset clause for conditional use permit should be reviewed on a case-by-case basis because not all the permits for development or park or whatever projects are equal. So those are what we have heard. Right.
I was just going to make quick mention of a couple more that the Planning Commission on this item had indicated earlier. One was about clarifying the continuous use of low-impact development best management practices and the acronyms and things like that throughout the code, which is being added in many, many places. And also the discussion about public meetings and trying to be much clearer in our section that talks about public notification about when public meetings are an option for different types of discretionary permits. And then in addition to that, obviously, staff, again, continuing to review, and there may be some other modifications and tweaks to references and things like that that we will bring back over the next month or so. So with that, that's us going through it. I do want to recognize just quickly time. So the intent is to we have the mall tour starting at 5 o'clock with some introductory presentation, hopefully in, you know, about 8 minutes or so. So if we leave a little time for that, but certainly wanted to provide the opportunity for a commission to provide any feedback again about other issues that you might have heard that you either don't see here, didn't hear us talk about, or particular or specific things that you would like to see staff come back with as we get into the more of the meat of going through the issues and comments at the next meetings.
Thanks, Brian. Any high-level comments, Commissioner Peterson?
I'm aware that staff did two meetings when the comp plan amendments were first introduced, some, you know, to explain things, and attendance wasn't so great. But I guess the one big comment I've been getting from people is they, even though, you know, they feel that they're well educated and understand these concepts, they're having trouble understanding what they're reading. And so I know that you have tried to reach out to the public, but I guess I just wanted to put that out there that there's still some confusion and maybe there's another way to reach out, or maybe doing another meeting now that people have had the opportunity to try to understand what they're reading. Now, maybe give them a new opportunity to ask questions. I don't have a solution. I just want you to be aware of the comments I've been getting.
Yeah, it's a great comment. Public notification engagement, always tricky, especially when you're talking about something like a comprehensive plan, which can sound a little bit esoteric to many folks.
whereas Proctor in a 65-foot building is very real, right, to people. So there was comments in the public testimony also about outreach and whether or not it was enough or sufficient or as effective. We're certainly open to any input, and it may be an opportunity, certainly once the Planning Commission finishes and makes its recommendation to the City Council, maybe that is something that, in addition to the City Council holding its public hearing, obviously, that maybe the idea of informational meetings of what the Planning Commission has then recommended is another opportunity to try that again.
Commission? Well, I appreciate staff pulling this together. I think just from my high-level perspective, and again, not trying to give too much direction and trying to respect the fact that we need to take the time to really review all the comments that come in. I think we kind of covered the Proctor issue, which was one of our main points. But, you know, I think that it'll be interesting, and I'm excited to take some time to read about people's written comments on historic districts. I definitely share some of the concerns after we sat through the hearing about particularly HMR SRD and probably some of the SRDs that include historic buildings, and how we really get the code to where it should be, or maybe where the community thinks it should be in regards to historic buildings. And so I think that'll be something interesting for us to definitely analyze. I think that the comments at the hearing were definitely towards preserving historic districts. I know myself and Dawn have had discussions with other people in the North Slope District recently about that, and started to think a lot more about that. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes and what kind of written comments we receive on that item, too.
Yeah, so in that vein, I guess I'll ask whether or not the commission would prefer or appreciate if we provided a packet of written comments to date. Again, you know, I mean, recognizing that we're in the midst, but it is well up over 100 comments. So if you want to get started on reading through the public comments, that's certainly something we could do, is provide a package of them maybe later this week or early next week, and then obviously the rest as well once we have that.
Staff, in terms of compiling the comments, to maybe provide us a certain amount that we've received to date, and then something from, let's just assume the end of the week to the 11th, that you guys would provide us an addendum of written comments received during that time period, or how would you envision that?
I'll let probably have to do it.
We can probably, let me try this. Let me try to compile everything that we received up to August 31st, end of August. Some are huge documents, like a lot of attachments. So if I compile everything, I won't be able to email to you. I'll have to break it into pieces and email to you. So the logistic, the mailing logistic may be an issue. I'll see what I can do before Friday, but I'll certainly provide you something.
I definitely want to make it easier for you guys. I don't want to complicate this in breaking it apart between a date certain and the 11th, but it would definitely help me at least to start reading through some of the stuff. I don't know what the rest of the commission thinks, but.
Well, it would also be helpful, and I don't want to, you know, kind of counter what the chair has just said in terms of making more work for you, but it would be helpful if perhaps the comments could be sort of categorized maybe along the same structure that you've done with the letter that we have today.
Are you guys compiling it that way, or are you just kind of lumping stuff together?
So on the same subject into one document, that kind of a thing. And yeah, we will work overtime without pay. we'll try to make it happen. This, you deserve to see some comments. I mean, we're catching up, but you need to see the comments.
Yeah. Drop 250 letters on you too, and it's like, you know, yeah, you got 3 days to review this before we have a solid discussion on the 16th.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate, I know I'm probably speaking for the rest of the commission, appreciate the amount of work you guys are doing on this. This is a lot of work, and we've definitely had a good community conversation about a lot of this stuff so far. So anyway, so I don't see any other discussion at the moment. Let's keep on track here, and let's do the tour. I'm excited about this. Should we adjourn the meeting, Mr. Wong?
Not yet. Okay. I need to make an announcement, and then ask Elliot to come up and go over the introduction for the tour. So the tour and today's meeting actually is a special meeting of the commission, because we are doing two things differently. One, we are holding the meeting at a different location than the regularly scheduled, and two, we're doing a tour. So for that, we call this a special meeting, is by definition. Now, about a tour, you will be gathering on a bus, and so that is called a special gathering of the commissioners. You may do so as long as you do not take actions by state law. By definition, actions include deliberations, taking testimony, discussions, reviews, evaluations, and voting. So pretty much everything that you do on a regular basis, you don't do. So what can you do? You can ask questions, you can ask for clarifications, you can talk about your family, your kids, your dogs, cats. But the purpose, the point is that for those citizens who would like to participate in a tour and we can accommodate them on the same bus, it is fine. For those who may not be able to come along, we do not want to take action without them knowing. So that is the purpose. So, and the other thing is Elliot must go over what is going to happen on the tour, so that people who are not participating have an idea. Okay, so with that, I'm going to turn over to Elliot to give a very short description of the tour.
Thank you, Wong, Chair Beal, commissioners. It's great to get out and see the city a little bit, so I'm excited. And we have invited folks who have expressed interest in joining our stakeholder group, still not finalized yet, but we have a list of names, and we invited a bunch of folks, other citizens who heard about this, expressed some interest. But that being said, as of now, it looks as though we have four or five free seats. So I think what I need to do here is double check by request a show of hands of the people who are here today. First of all, are you here? And secondly, maybe let me know if you did not already RSVP. So, who's here to join the tour? From 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So, as far as I can tell, we may still get a couple more people. It looks as though we are going to be able to accommodate everybody. I guess we'll have to, we won't know for 100% sure until we get on the bus. If we are able to accommodate everybody who wants to go, then Wong, this is a clarification question. The limitations you just stated are not, don't necessarily apply.
That's right, we have more flexibility now.
So if everybody who wishes to attend the meeting is able to attend, it's not quite as strict of a situation as Wong described. So I want to start real quick with the tour logistics. So the tour is scheduled to board the bus at 5 p.m., just in a few minutes, and then we have laid out stops. There are some copies of the map and the designated stopping points, so if anybody did want to join in progress, we're actually going to try to stick to the schedule, and people could meet us at those places if they didn't have room on the bus or just chose to meet halfway through. So we put this tour together in order to try to show the four different quadrants of this neighborhood, and it will include a walking segment, about a half a mile or so walking segment. Let's hope it's not going to rain on us. That is optional. If somebody chose not to walk, they could stay on the bus and then just we could meet them again afterwards. But the walking segment is going to be pretty interesting. So that's really the tour. The purpose of this is just to familiarize the Planning Commission with the neighborhood, just to get out there and put eyes on it. We will give you information as we roll along, and one of the things that we can give an update on is the input that we've received to date. It's great to be able to say that the project is really up and running now. We had our first full community meeting last week, and it was well attended, and we got some good initial input and thoughts. The questions we asked people to think about were, first, the neighborhood today, what does it have in terms of assets, what's missing that might make you choose to stay or choose to invite family or friends to live in the neighborhood. So we solicited some input from that exercise, and a lot of the issues that we had already started to hear really came out. One of the things that was interesting, the neighborhood has a good location. That's something that everyone or many people pointed to as a big asset here. You can get to anywhere in the city in just a few minutes from here, and people think that that's a real asset. It also has a lot of services and things that that make it an attractive place to live, but also lacks certain things, and lack of open space, parks, lack of a regular neighborhood school in the area. Crime and safety was a really big issue that people expressed a lot of concern about. Transportation and streets, that was a really big one as well. And then with change coming to the neighborhood, how is it going to welcome the people who are here now as opposed to sort of displace them? That was another really big theme that we heard about the area today. And the second question was desires for the future. What would it take to encourage people to stay here, move here, or expand a business here, or locate a business here? Some of the specific questions that I invite everyone to think about while we're riding the bus and while we're walking around. What are the centers, the center points of this neighborhood? We heard a little bit that perhaps 38th and Pine or the Tacoma Mall itself are a couple of the natural centers. But that's a real question that we're gonna delve into later in the month as we do the design workshops. What are the assets and issues? What are the needs of the area? So those are the things I would invite everybody to think about while we're out there. And then the last thing I want to do while we've got everyone's attention here is a quick schedule update. We have a lot. We're really going strong here now on the project. August 26th was that community meeting. September 17th at 5:30, we'll have the official environmental impact statement scoping meeting. So that's the opportunity for everybody to come and formally submit issues that they think need to be considered as part of this process to make sure. And that's going to be all that we have to thank the Asian Pacific Cultural Center. Our September meetings are going to be right here in this room, centrally located and really well set up for this kind of thing. And so, and there are flyers right over on the table with all these dates and locations. So be sure to pick one of those up. September 17th at 5:30 would be that SEPA scoping meeting. The following week, starting on the 21st, there will be three public design workshop meetings, again, right here in the room. And they're really structured as a iterative process over that week. So on the 21st, the consultants will help to present a general presentation about issues, objectives, and then by the end, on Thursday, they will have done a lot of listening, a lot of consulting with stakeholders in the community, and come up with the beginnings of the growth scenarios and the beginnings of what some of the key changes could be to street corridors and to defining character districts. So it's going to be a really exciting week, that week of September 21st. Notification is going to go out very shortly to everybody who lives and works in the neighborhood, as well as everyone who's expressed interest in being a stakeholder. So we're really going to get the word out there. There was just an article by Matt Driscoll in the Tacoma News Tribune, copies over on the table there, along with some other background information that people can grab, whether you're going to be on the tour or not. With that, I think that's my quick overview. Not trying to get any direction out of you. This is really just a quick update to make sure everyone knows what we're up to today. So with that, any questions?
One question, just to Elliot, on the tour path. On the very last leg as we come up past the south side of the mall, take a right back on Pine, is there a reason or could it be possibly amended to go up to 43rd so we drive by the Pacifica, since it's the most recent redevelopment site in the area? We're not even really, we're kind of turning right before that. I don't know what that leg on 45th, what the intent was there, and why. I mean, could we just drive up to 43rd and turn left and then come back. That way we can at least see Pacifica. I think there's some real street level issues there with that wall that probably, if people haven't had a chance to drive by it or think about it, we should consider that.
I think we can make that happen, especially since that's almost the end of the tour. So no problem. We can take a little more time and even stop and drive through the parking lot and take a closer look.
Anything else for folks? Are you guys ready for tour?
Mr. Chair?
So we're boarding the bus at about 5:10, right? 10 past 5?
Well, actually, we're going to try to head, you know, everybody.
Okay.
Restrooms are right over here.
So restrooms the back corner, and there are restrooms at the front entrance. And
we want to leave at 5:10 if we can.
Okay, so hop on the bus in about 5 to 7 minutes. So before we close, the billboards task force that you created will continue to meet on September 8th and 10th and hopefully make a recommendation to the full commission on September 16th. Currently, the commission has a vacant position representing the development community. We are working with the city clerk's office to get the recruitment process going. So with that, I would ask if there are strong hands that will are willing to help us put the chairs back together. 5 minutes. Thank you.